Welcome to the International Franchise Association's Women's Franchise Committee's podcast, Her Success, the Stories of Female Franchise Leaders. I am Michelle Rowan with Franchise Business Review, and today I'm excited to be talking with Paul Pickett, Chief Development Officer of Wild Birds Unlimited. And the reason for the giggle is because you're all smart enough to know that he's not a woman. But he is an advocate of women and the LGBTQ community, both in franchising and out. And he's our 2020 Crystal Compass Award winner. It's an award given by the Women's Franchise Committee for outstanding leadership in the franchise industry. And I will start with full disclosure. Paul is one of my dearest friends, so we could probably talk all day, but we're going to try and make this a focused endeavor today.
Perfect. Well,
thank you for talking with us. So,
pleasure. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Well, I think what I appreciate the most about you is that I feel like anybody who encounters you, you bring a smile to their face. You have a joy about you. And I think that you leave people feeling better than they did before they talked to you. So I'm so excited for you to share some of your story and how you lead your people and what you're doing in your life. So I want to start with an easy one.
Yes.
Tell us your background. Give us a little Paul Pickett insight and what led you into franchising to start with.
Okay, I will. And thank you for those kind words. And, you know, just paying it forwards, there should be no other option in my opinion, humble opinion. So I'm Paul Pickett, Chief Development Officer of Wild Birds Unlimited. And I was very lucky to be guided by my parents to follow your passion. And my passion has always been birds and nature in general. My dad told me, it doesn't matter what you major in something that you love because you'll do really well. It won't be work, it'll be fun. You'll get good grades and then you'll get a good job and then you can worry about what you're gonna do. So I did, and I went to school and I have a bachelor's in biology with a focus on ornithology, the study of birds, and a master's in biology/ornithology, and a minor in biochemistry and statistics, which are weird, but that's something I was also interested in. And I moved I grew up in northern Minnesota, went to school in North Dakota. Great place to go to school because there's very few distractions, by the way. And I moved to Indiana. And I had a job, a terrible job at the university here in the anatomy department. And it was miserable. And I'm a people person. And I sat in a lab and did experiments, and I really did not enjoy it. I discovered by chance this little funky store in Broad Ripple, Indiana, called Wild Birds Unlimited. And I went to a flower and patio show first. You know, one of those places where they, you know, they set up booths and then they set up flower displays. Mm-hmm. And around the outside are all these little booths selling everything from Vegematics to plants to a little booth, Wild Birds Unlimited. I went in and just started chatting. The owners happened to be there. We had been birding in the same places. I went on a trip at college to Costa Rica to study birds. They'd been there. Sorry. I warned you, the dogs.
That's okay.
And started chatting and asked if I could get a job working on Saturdays in the retail store. So I went up on a Saturday, started just, you know, discovered the store, went in there, and just so happened that a truck showed up while I was there talking to them, and the owners went out to help unload the truck. I was in the store. I was looking around, and I ended up engaging with a customer because I'm such a stranger. I ended up selling them a whole bunch of product and then went out and helped them finish unloading the truck. And one of the employees came out and said, you need to hire this guy. He just sold $200 worth of bird feeding products to somebody. They got really busy. My boss, Jim and Nancy Carpenter, said, we're too busy, come back next week. I came back and they said, bring a resume. A CV is what we used to call them. And I'm like, to work Saturdays part-time in a retail store? Okay, I'll do it. And they said, hey, we've got this franchise. We don't have any employees. We're starting, we're really looking to grow. It's back in 1989. They made me take my wingtip shoes because it was an interview. So I thought I'd be proud. And I had an old pair of wingtip shoes. They made me take them off. So I did the interview in my stocking feet in their basement office. And they offered me a job. And I was the franchise assistant, first employee. And I did everything from, they used to bring their cats in. I'd clean the litter box. I did store visits. I, you know, cut and pasted literally with tape to make marketing materials. I helped store owners navigate through operational issues. And I found this wonderful passion in talking to people who were interested in opening their own Wild Birds Unlimited store, and just grew from there. And it's been 31 years of doing all of that and loving it and watching our system grow to 345 stores. And we have nearly 50 employees, a great team at the Franchise Support Center. So
awesome. Okay, that's my story. Wait, let's unpack all those lessons that were in there. So one, your parents told you to do something you love, which I'm hoping more children hear that now, but it was not a common thing to hear back then. You heard, do what's going to pay the bills. So what did you think you were going to do with your degree? I'm just curious what you envisioned your life to be with what you went to school for.
I honestly thought that I would continue on and get a PhD and be a college professor and researcher.
Okay. So you pivoted and just by following your passion. So that's one incredible lesson.
Yeah,
so second is that you found this business and what they were doing, and you were just so excited by it that you were literally willing to do anything. And they took you up on that.
That is absolutely true. Yeah, so, we met there in the middle.
Yeah, there's not a lot of shoveling out kitty litter in most job roles. Probably wasn't on anything that they would have published, but you just did it.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. That was not one of the tasks associated with being the franchise assistant.
Okay. And then the other is that you were persistent. They were busy. They didn't have time to talk with you, and you didn't say, okay, I'm going to walk away. They then asked you for a resume to come work on Saturdays, and you thought that was strange, but you still did it.
Yeah.
So there's like 100 lessons in just your story alone on what led you into franchising. So now, 31 years later,
a lot less hair later. Yeah,
I'm hoping that you're done with the kitty litter.
I'd do it if I was asked to do it. I mean, you know what? You dig in, right? I mean, Susan Blackbeth always says, you got to pull tarp, right? You know, when the truck comes for our enterprise leadership conference to get loaded, I'm back there loading the truck. And when it's stuffing goodie bags for our trade show, I'm stuffing goodie bags. I know how to use the mail machine. I know how to, I can do it. Yeah, you just do it, right? I mean, that's part of being a leader, is you get down in the trenches with your folks and you let them know that you can do it. Usually they kick me out because I stink at most of it, but I'm fine with that too.
You don't do it their way.
Correct. So I'm like, right. You do it. You do you, people.
I love it. So can you think of any challenges that you faced along the way? And this can go back to jobs before you got into Wild Birds Unlimited. There might have been one job before then, but or just challenges that you faced along the way in getting to where you wanted to be or doing what you wanted to do, or just a challenge that you worked through in business that you can share with others.
Yeah, I do. I do have something that... And I will tell you that it came from inside, not from outside. I have leadership in my company that is amazing and non-judgmental and inclusive and accepting. But my trouble was being authentic. And so you mentioned I'm a huge advocate of women. I'm a huge advocate of the LGBTQ community. I happen to be a gay guy. I was so fearful that that would be something that would restrict my ability to grow. And it wasn't from outside, it was from inside. And it was my own fear and my own anxiety associated with being judged. And that was a fear that I had to overcome in order to be my authentic self. and allowed me to grow into tapping into more of my authentic self. But that was a barrier to a lot of other things. And once that barrier came down, the floodgates came, and I was like, oh, I can do this. I can do anything.
Awesome.
If I put my mind to it.
Yeah, I love it. So how about some people that have been influential in your journey through through all of your work career? Anyone that's kind of really helped you figure out your way or helped support you through what you do even today?
Yeah, I mean, Jim and Nancy Carpenter, Jim, the founder, and his wife, who was not the founder, but jumped into the franchise very quickly and were my bosses and continue to be my bosses. And I'm not just filling you full of it, but Michelle Rowan, I don't know if you know her. somebody who's just honest and authentic and funny and wise and direct and kind at the same time. Therese Tilghman and Gary Gardner. This list is going to be, I'm not going to even come close to touching the whole thing. Who were early on, I've known them for years, who have just been advocates and thought leaders for me to follow. Kim Ellis, who taught me a lot of blocking and tackling and franchise development. Jeff Sturgis, same way, Pete Lindsay. Just people who I've just like tried to be a sponge around. Two people that are really important to me right now, Shelley Sun and Catherine Munson. Just always pushing and yet always being thoughtful. Eric Seitz, just, you know, do it right. Do it right and ask a lot of questions and measure everything you do. I mean, that's something that he shared with me early on that were very wise. Susan Blackbeth, just tapping into your passion bucket. That's a term she uses. Nancy Bigley, digging down into the details so that you know what the heck you're talking about before you start opening your mouth. So that's just through a tiny list of people who have just given me so much over the years.
Well, and for people that are watching this, I mean, you just named some really big names and well-known people in franchising. So what can you give advice on? How do you make those connections? How do you meet those people and have those kinds of conversations?
I self-deprecatingly say this all the time. Just show up. Just continue to show up. I mean, I've been going to the IFA since, IFA conference. My first one was probably 1991. And I still have a really dear friend that I met at that conference, Jeff Colton. I went to dinner with a guy at that conference that I don't know how it all happened, but I was just sat next to him at this dinner that I kind of just honed in on because I was too stupid and naive to be afraid. I don't know if you've ever heard of Fred DeLuca and Subway.
I have heard of it. Small brand.
Yeah, small brand, you know, like emerging sort of. Yeah. I didn't know until I got back home who I had dinner with. But it's just about showing up and just being there and being present. And when people ask, say yes. Just say yes. And sometimes it's a bust, but it's usually not. And you can usually pull something great out of anything. So
yeah, I will say that's probably one thing that you taught me. I was very closed off when I started in franchising, and probably because I was a woman, and it's a little intimidating to jump in with all these crazy men. Franchising tends to get a little crazy at night. But yeah. I very much kept my work life and my home life separate. And I think you forced me to say yes, but you got me to do stuff and go to things that I wouldn't have done. And you got me to open up. And I love what you said about authenticity, is that there's no more, this is who I am at work and this is who I am at home. It's not a way that you can operate in this world anymore. So it's show up and say yes. That's true. Say yes. Yeah.
It's too hard to keep track of it all. I will tell you, I am never the smartest guy in the room, ever, 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 ever. And so I can't remember what, you know, like what does somebody know and somebody doesn't know, and what part of me am I allowed to share and be transparent on, and what part am I not? It's too hard. Just be me.
Yeah. So how do you, what do you feel like is some of your leadership style, or how do you lead your people and create a team since you were there from the scratch? Is it organic, or how are you learning to be a good leader? Or what do you think makes you a good leader? Because I'll tell you, you are one, because I know, I don't want you to do that. Oh, I don't know if I, you are a great leader. You have a great team and a great culture. So how does that come about?
Well, it's evolved. And I don't think, well, maybe there are some people who are just born great leaders. They say that. I call BS on that a little bit. I think you have to listen. You have to watch. You have to come to that point of self-comfort where you realize that control is usually bad, and let people do things and get the bloody heck out of their way. That was my bad leadership style for a long time, was trying to micromanage and make sure that it was done my way. And once I got over that, and Jim Carpenter helped me with that and said, you're not going to be able to grow to where you want to grow and where I think you have the opportunity to grow. And he sent me to a leadership coach for about, it didn't take long. It was like 6 months. And she just taught me to respond, don't react. And I just watched other great leaders and saw how they did things and said, I think I'll just mimic them. And you let your people go, and holy cow, they will take what you, your ideas and your thoughts, and they'll implement them maybe differently, but usually better, you know? Because they're in the weeds. They know what's going on the details, and they can say, why are we doing that? That's double entry. I'm like, well, because that's the way we've always done
it. That's the way we've always done it.
Shut the heck up and just move on. So now I'm like, yeah, you like it? Great. As long as I know, as long as I get my measurements and my metrics and they're happy and the customer is happy, and then I'm fine. So get out of their way and read and research and listen.
Yeah. Good point on the, but measure it, make sure that what you need to get done is getting done. I like that. So Paul, if you could tell yourself, if Paul today in 2020 could tell Paul something 20 years ago, so 2000 Paul, what would you tell yourself?
You're going to lose all your hair. I would say, believe in your gut and use your tribe to bounce off these ideas, but still believe in your gut. So don't be so hesitant.
And that
would be the other one. And also just get out of your and everyone else's way, because other ideas are usually great ideas.
Yeah.
Different does not mean bad. Different means oftentimes better.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, do you want to talk about the fact that 20 years ago was the year 2000? Because that, putting that number on it, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Let's All right. How about, so what we're trying to do through our committee is tell these stories and help younger people in franchising take away some ideas on how to get to that point of leadership. So is there anything, an advice that you would give? And I've said this to other women, to say advice you'd give a young woman that's entering franchising or the workforce, but I think it really applies to any minority specifically, knowing that franchising is traditionally an older white male dominated industry. It is changing a little bit, but we need to see more diversity in our organization, in the IFA, in our whole community. So are there any, and so this could be somebody coming in on the franchisor side, a supplier, a candidate, just young people in general, what advice would you give them about franchising or about their work plan and goals?
I mean, the first thing that came to mind when you ask that question is kindly, politely, and appropriately manage through this, but do not allow anyone to disrespect you in any way or fashion. We are all very different, right? Men are different than women. I'm Scandinavian. Swedes are different from Norwegians. Gay guys are different than straight women and straight guys and lesbians. But you know what? We should all be treated respectfully and equally. And so embrace diversity and do not allow that anyone to get away with it in a respectful, polite, and kind fashion. That would be something. And just work hard. You know, hard work always pays off. Now, you have to do it smartly. You can't, you know. So it's not about time. It's about a smart intellectual work ethic.
Hustle.
More?
No, it's about hustle, I said. Hustle.
Oh, hustle. Hustle. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're not going to get anywhere. No one just gets it. You got to earn it.
Yeah. So. I was thinking about when you said when I asked about the leadership stuff, there's that whole saying of that it takes 10,000 hours to master something. And I've never really put that to leadership. I've always kind of put that to a specific skill. But I do wonder if that's about the point where you start feeling comfortable with yourself in that role.
Yeah, I think it's also figuring out the difference between being respected and valued and loved, and making sure that you figure out what that balance is for you. And I think that's an important part of leadership too, because you can be tough and you can be you can have high standards. You just have to do it in the right way so that people want to meet them rather than feel like they're browbeaten into it.
Yeah.
And that's good. I think that's an important thing. And choose your words carefully. So that's another piece of advice that I probably didn't do early on. And so what I thought was being clear and direct was maybe not being as kind as I should have been.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Paul, you are always a pleasure to speak with. Oh. I even got some nuggets. Always. Think of how many conversations we have and you're still giving me nuggets.
Well, I'm always getting, you know, it's right back at you. Quid pro quo, girl. Quid pro quo.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us.
I appreciate the time. I appreciate the Women's Franchise Committee so much. The work that you guys do is absolutely germane to the continued success of franchising.
Thanks, Paul. We'll keep trying.
You keep going. Keep hustling, girl.